sorry about that. It is currently 10 o'clock at night, which means you are listening to the After Class Show, Late Night Home. My name is Mia Van Harten, and I'm going to be your host for this fall semester. As you can tell, I have my full introduction. Two lines, but I think it's sweet. Anyways, today is October 17th. Today, weather-wise, I don't know if about the rest of you, but I was surprised to see that it hailed. And, like, not a lot, maybe, like, 2-3 times throughout the day, starting at, like, 12 o'clock. And I only know this specifically because it's the time I get on to go to the bus to get to campus. And that's when it started to hail. Thankfully, I was under, like, a little roofy, like, roof thing that they have at the bus station. But, yeah, and then during class it hailed. And it's been pretty chilly. Like, I'm on the walk here to the station. I had to put on a jacket. But other than that, I feel like it's been, weather-wise, it's been pretty good. Hopefully no one got caught in the hail and, well, got hit and stuff, because I know some hail can bruise if big enough. But it was nice for it to rain. But anyways, since it is October 17th, that means tomorrow is my birthday. And I am so excited. My friends and family, like, whenever I tell them, like, coworkers too, whenever I tell them, oh, my birthday on 18th, it's like the common questions are, so are you going to a club? Are you going to a bar? And which one are you going to? And as much as I find it funny, I am also genuinely surprised that that's the almost the same response, like, throughout whoever I tell to my 19th birthday are either about a club or a bar, which... yes, I guess a lot of, like, young adults, when they turn 19, I guess 19 is a young adult, but, like, you know, who knows? Anyways, they just want to go out and get drunk and stuff, but that's not really my style, to be honest, nor does it sound appeasing to get, like, drunk. Yeah, sure, I may get a drink or two, but I don't plan on getting drunk or anything. Also, my birthday, it's on a Tuesday. I feel like that is a very awkward day to decide that you're going to get drunk. Like, just based on my friends' stories, like the ones that do drink, because they're all technically older than me, because they have earlier birthdays than I do. So technically I'm the youngest friend. But other than that, and like TV shows, a hangover does not sound fun, again, nor appeasing. I don't want to suffer a hangover for the next day. And then also, like for the next day, have to attend classes. That does not sound fun. Being, like, hungover and having to listen to, like, for example, literary theory. That is my mind when I'm not even, like, well, I've never been on hungover, so I don't know how to, like, you know. But even just listening to literary theory, it makes me want to take out my brain and just, like, throw it on the chat, like, in the trash and just relax, like, numb, void, brain dead after, like, my literary theory class. So getting hungover and then attending a class like that, I can only imagine the harsh consequences on my poor brain. It does not sound fun. But hey, who knows? We'll see what will happen. Maybe, like, because I have no plans to go to a bar, I'm gonna be honest. Like, October is, like, the busiest month, which, surprising, a lot of people say December is the busiest month because of Christmas. But for me, October is the busiest month. And getting, like, I may sound stingy, but I don't have time to get drunk. I have a lot to do. So... the most I'll probably drink is probably, like, 3. Like, I don't know. I'm probably going to do something easy, like a fruity drink. Like I said, a couple... I think it was not last Monday, but the Monday before, where it's, like, a non-virgin pina colada. Something fruity. I don't see myself drinking, like, anything hard liquor. But anyways, that is my foresight into after my 19th birthday. Though, I must say... one bar I definitely want to go to is this bar that my brother found on Instagram called the Sugar Run Bar. I've never been, of course, but it looks like a good place to go to. They would like they would post different drinks that they sell or that they made, and they look so good. I don't have any examples off the top of my head, but just based on memory, there's like this one, it's like an orange yellow one, and it had a little cherry in it. I don't know the names of drinks, but it looked pretty good, to say the least. And recently, the Instagram account, of course, have been posting every so often that they have like some form of live entertainment. From what I can remember, it's like local bands, comedians, stuff like that, which of course looks fun. So I may just have to go to the Sugar Run Bar when they have that like entertainment, and also when I have the energy to go. Like, I feel like another problem for me is that even when I can go to the bar, I don't want to go alone. I prefer to go with my friends, but not a lot of my friends are social butterflies, meaning they're introverts, and a bar scene is not their type of thing that they would be hesitant, very hesitant to go when I ask them if they would want to. As an introvert, I feel like I just attract more introverts to be my friends. I don't have a lot of extrovert friends, like people that are dragging me out to go do stuff. Pardon me. But, so let's just say there are a lot of factors. But my aunt did promise me that she wanted to go to a bar with me and see me drunk. So maybe eventually I will go get drunk and have someone to go with. I know how sad that sounds, but no comment. So quickly changing the topic, you guys don't make a comment on that. Reading week. Well, like, first of all, welcome back. Hopefully all of you who do, like, had a lot of readings or a lot of homework caught up. Maybe if you weren't falling behind, you, like, gone further into your class syllabuses and stuff like that. I personally, for reading week, just went to my Thanksgiving, then I went to my dad's place because he lives in Brantford, and then did nothing else. I fell on relaxed. To be fair, I wasn't like falling behind in anything, but yeah, it was fun for me. Hopefully it was fun for you, though. Other than my personal news and welcoming you all back from reading week, I looked on Instagram and there is no news for this week. Just like I looked on the Laurier one, I looked on the Waterloo one, like there's not much going on. Like there is a, for the city of Kitchener, the only thing that there was a pop-up park in, like, I think it was downtown Kitchener, and it happened during Saturday and Sunday, and it looked pretty cool considering I've never seen a pop-up park. It just, pop-up park, that may be a tongue twister. I don't know. I just know that if I say it too much, I will probably mess up. But it just looks like they lay down fake grass and equipment that looks like logs and trees and other nature-type stuff. But in the shape of, like, seats and slides and such. Like, but they did post, like, after that, apparently some of the stuff that they used for this pop-up park is going back to the community. So the sod, which is basically the fake grass, it's going to be used to patch up the city soccer fields or replanted at the center of some roundabouts. There was a little climber there, so that will be used for a rental. It was like a rental, and it's just going to be returned. The plantings, they were donated to, it was like another, like, small business, I guess, and it's like, I think it's a business, but it's like a local indigenous group, and their fruit and berry bushes and mums were dedicated to community gardens. Like, there's other items are just gonna be relocated, and there's like some, oh, also, okay, never mind, they just posted something, let me take a look, spontaneous. So there's a drop-in soccer at Buds Park. It's an indoor soccer field on Monday evenings. So 6:30, 7:45, and 9 p.m. So they'll cost money. It's like $4.81. And probably for this week and next week, well, you missed this week, but if you're Yeah, but probably go next week. Have some fun. Oh, and Working Towards Zero Hunger talk on Tuesday. It's on October 18th at 6 p.m. There's like, oh, the voting is coming up. I can't believe I forgot about that. So it's Monday, October 24th, 24th, which is conveniently also my brother and my grandpa's birthday. So it's the municipal, sorry, election day. So don't forget to vote. Also in little news, there's an enchanted forest. It's in Breathpop Park. So on October 27th to the 30th from 7:30 to 10 p.m. You gotta book your spots, but if there's that's for the city of Kitchener. If you want more specific details, I suggest actually going to their Instagram page, as I only relay information that I have found. Okay, so while I was looking for news to like fill in to be like, so I just didn't say, oh yeah, I have no news, and then move on to my next topic. I was looking for like online for different news, and I saw a headline that said Ontario man applying for medically assisted death as alternative to being homeless. And I was like, wow, like that is a type of extreme. So I of course read the article, and it's from City News Everywhere. And to basically sum it up, it is this guy, he has a social support, but they're essentially failing him, or so he claims. It said that he has a serious back injury and that it caused him extreme pain, and it like probably just like it hindered, sorry, forgot that word. It hindered his daily life, and he just couldn't like go on, and he fears that it'll be like come homeless because he can't find a cheaper house. And the house that apparently that he is currently living in now, he has two other roommates, and I think I'm pretty sure he's like in his 30s, 40s. I'm not 100% sure on that. But he basically said he would rather die than become homeless, because it talks about the fears. He fears being homeless more than he fears death. And I guess I get that in a way, but I feel like that is a very drastic case, so to put it. Like, I feel like death is such an extreme for homelessness, choosing death over homelessness. But I also think it definitely says something about people fearing being homeless and questioning how they would survive and stuff. Like, personally, if I was ever homeless, I would not survive. Now, like, the only thing I know that the city does for like the homeless is these homeless shelters and soup kitchens, like the basic kind of stuff. Sorry, but I think I'm just hiccuping. But anyways, back to the homeless. So like we have the basic homeless shelters, soup kitchens, and for the youth, like the youth shelters. But I think at this point, like I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it's gotten to the point where it's just too much. Because one time I was looking at a place to live, like, I mean, too much as in money-wise for like cost of living. And I'm no expert, but this is just a like an opinion of someone who was trying to look for a house as like one, a student, two, as someone who's working with like a little above minimum wage and just generally just a teenager. Teenager spends a lot of money. But anyways, so I was looking for a place to live, and I found one that was $2,000 for a basement room. Like, I'm pretty sure like the Wi-Fi was not included. The bills for like electricity were extra, like other bills like that. And the only things included were the stove, the washer and dryer, things like that, things that were already placed inside the house. And it would be odd if like they said, no, you can't use the washer and dryer. No, you can't use the kitchen. And I was like, I can't pay that, especially on my, because at the time I was paying minimum wage. So I was like, I can't pay that. I can't pay that on my minimum wage. No way. Things have just increased so much that more and more and people are in threat of being homeless or just fighting to survive in this economy. Like, I grew up poor, so especially like on my dad's side, like he's not necessarily like it's still kind of like a poor household, and it's just like it's a struggle. It's very hard to just it's you're constantly budgeting, you're constantly watching what you're buying, and like if you do have extra money, yes, you're saving some of it, but some of it's also going into like indulgences, like I don't know, games or stuff like that. And I personally am very grateful because every Christmas he saves enough money to get me and my little brother like presents, and I'm very thankful for that because just knowing from like money wise, it is very hard to well be poor, but I guess that's kind of in the term poor, you kind of just expect, yeah, it's gonna be hard. But anyways, it's why there's so much homelessness. Like the homeless have been setting up their tents in almost every empty lot. I know there was some in like in I think it's Kitchener-Waterloo area, Victoria Park. There's like this island, little island, and it has like a water, like a river surrounding this island, and some homeless set up their tents there to live. And like the only housing that I have seen in like the is in the Kitchener industry area. It's not like it's different kind of from a homeless shelter. So someone obviously built like shed like houses, so they're like a shed size. I am getting tongue twisted. They're a size of a shed, but they have like, well, I assume they have like a bed in there. It has like a window, and just like and there's like I think around 10, maybe a little bit more, placed in this area, and it's for the homeless to live for like an actual, I use quotation marks when I say this, but house, an actual house. I don't know, but again, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this kind of stuff. I'm just speaking as like a civilian. I just think something has to be done, whether it's making more of those shed-like houses or for the homeless, or doing something about pricing for housing and rent. Just because, like I said, everything has just been prices have just been increasing, and I get inflation and stuff like that, but when it inflates so much that it just basic necessities become hard to pay for, it's not a good sign of where the economy is going, let's just say that. Well, it's very bad. It's also, I don't know, it's just kind of sad, to be honest. Like, I don't know, I was just like, I want to say more about it, but I don't think I'm in the position to technically say more about it. But I just like we need to do something. We as a society, I guess, need to step up. But I guess I sound kind of like, oh man, what's the word? One of those people who's just like that smashes their fist against the table and be like, we need to do something. Like, like I guess I'm like an activist. But oh, actually, speaking of activists. So these two girls, I think they're teenagers or young adults. They're part of this activist group for like the oilings to try and stop like oiling companies and stuff like that. And I don't know the exact date, but I know that they took a can of tomato soup and they threw like they emptied the can of soup onto a Vincent Van Gogh painting, and I love Vincent Van Gogh, and it's the sunflower painting. I feel like I don't need to explain that. I feel like Vincent Van Gogh is pretty well known, and his paintings are pretty well known, especially the sunflower one. And they then these two girls decided to glue their hands to the wall, and I guess maybe this is just me, and I'm like, I get activism, I get the need to showcase, or I guess not showcase, but like show why and tell the people there's something that needs to be done. But I don't get that type of activism where they try to damage art. And I get the art costs millions and millions of dollars, but at the end of the day, if these police officers come get you, they're obviously gonna like put you in jail or like handcuff you. They're also probably gonna get fined for, if you did damage the painting, you're probably gonna get fined for damaging the painting. And if you're like damaging like a 3,000, 5,000, whatever, probably more like millions, to be honest, depending on the painting, you're probably just gonna get fined for that money. And all you'll be like, these activists and all these groups will just be like, yeah, this activist group, like the headline will say, this activist group destroyed or temporarily damaged insert blank painting that they decided to try and cut and ruin. And I know there was another painting, I forget who the artist was, and I wasn't sure of what the group was, but they also, I think they actually damaged this painting. And I think they got fined for it. But like, for me, for the most recent one, the one that I started talking about, the Vincent van Gogh one, that one wasn't destroyed because they have like a glass frame over top of it. If anything, I think it was just the frame that was damaged. But just like, if you really want to make a change, I feel like I guess like the oil company, it is very like, it is something that's like, you can't necessarily just like volunteer to help stop and stuff like that. There's only so much you can go with volunteer work. But maybe like petitions, signing, like taking it to the government instead of taking it to the people. Because if you take it to the government, do a petition or something like that, or say, try to call for like a new bylaw or law or something like that, and just take the steps. Yes, it's a long process, but because it is a long process, you can get traction, I believe, like the media term is, like getting more people to see, hey, these people are trying to do this. And also that way you create a platform where depending on what kind of activist group you are, not only is your name of that activist group going to go probably further than just, oh, this activist group destroyed this painting, because a lot of people love paintings and they're not going to enjoy people destroying them, but it's also going to create a website and where you can actually inform people. Because I don't know, for me, in my personal opinion, throwing soup at a painting is not going to tell me why, like what your cause is. Because I guess when they glue their hands to the wall or whatever they're doing to make themselves stay, they say a speech, right? And this girl was talking about the oiling industry. I don't know it word for word. But, my hiccups are really getting to me. But anyways, it's just like, yes, you're explaining what the problem is, but the cops are also arresting you while you're saying your little speech. Like, yeah, because it is little, because they like, I guess they estimate they don't have a lot of time, so they have to, like, cramp. But, like, if you give yourself more time and try to actually take it to the government, I feel like you would probably get to a point farther than rather than just a quick snap of the finger, attention from the media. Because I think we all know, just like when people get canceled or when things like this happen, the media goes through it by really fast, unless if it's like a long-lasting drama. But when someone gets canceled and there's a reason why they get canceled, it's probably in max for like 2-3 days in the media. And I say 2-3 days because the first news, whatever, will be like, oh, this person did this, and the internet has now declared them as canceled. And then the next media, like, whatever, industry, and then it goes to the next, and it goes to the next. But, like, I don't know. My point is, I feel like these activists, instead of doing these short-span ruining of $1 million in art and possibly getting fined, it's just, like, take it to the government, go the long route, well, not the super long route, but like a long route to gain that traction and to gain the people just to go further. And I guess this applies to, again, I'm not super educated in activism. I'm not educated in like the oil industry. I don't want to say that I am educated because I'm not, but I'm just like, I guess it's just coming from a point of confusion and feeling like there is a better path to take than just ruining art. Again, I love Vincent van Gogh. I'm probably the most biased person. Like, when I first saw this video, I was stunned. I was very well shocked. But I'm going to try and solve my hiccups by drinking some water. So I'm going to take a little break, which means that, one second. I'm great. Okay. Which means for you all that I have 7 different songs for you all to listen to. I would explain the vibe to y'all, but it's pretty mixed and matched, to be honest. The only thing that they have in common is that I love to listen to them, and they're like my most played songs. But you know what? Other than that, I genuinely hope you enjoy the music, and I'll get it started for you.
Hello, hello.
All right. First off, I think that's the first time they have ever played in order. So, from like what I have written down, but so the first song that was played was Rule Number 4 by Fish in a Birdcage, Who Is She by I Monster, Matilda by Harry Styles, the fourth was The Other Woman by Lana Del Rey, the fifth was X's and O's by Ellie King, and last one, the one we just listened to, was Bones by Imagine Dragons. Just for time-wise, I wasn't going to play the 7th, but I'll probably just save it for next Monday. Also, I don't know if you can tell, but it's a very simple soundboard, my anxiety just goes through the roof when I'm, like, switching dials and stuff like that, and my hands shake, and I always mess something up. It will never be normal. There will never be a smooth transition between the music and me talking, and then me talking to the music, you know, vice versa. It's sad, but it is the inevitable sad truth here. So, I think I may have told you about some of my favorite shows, but a basic sum up is that I love Midnight Mass, Haunting of Hill House, and Haunting of Bly Manor. And I'm pretty sure I mentioned these shows were all created by the same guy, and his name is Mike Flanagan. He also uses some, like, in his shows, like in the 3 shows I just mentioned, he also uses the same actors in his shows. For example, his wife, Erin Green, Zach Guilford, Victoria Peretti, I believe that's how you say her last name, and then Rahul Corley. I probably butchered at least half of their names, / last names, but you know what? My point here is that he just released a new show called Midnight Club. It's semi-new. It's like, it was released sometime last week, I'm pretty sure. But after watching the trailer, it gives me a lot, kind of like Midnight Society vibes. And if you don't know what Midnight Society is, it's kind of like a kids' TV show that kind of plays late at night for like the little, like for the older kids. And each season usually centers around something mysterious and where it happened. Happening, and it's usually these kids telling the story of like what's taking place and stuff like that. It kind of centers around that, but it's just like, but with Flanagan shows, the Midnight Club, again, just solely based on the trailer. I'll get to the episodes that I watched later on, but he seems to like, at first I thought he seems to tie in his 3 shows as like a collective universe, which I thought would be pretty cool. And either these kids are telling the stories of the previous shows, or the previous shows are true and in the same world of these kids. I don't know, like, at the time, I didn't know much, of course, but so, like, I think I'm on the 4th, 5th episode, and I love it so far. And the idea of him tying all his shows into a collective is not, it's like, it's not wrong, considering, like, he does use a lot of the characters from the previous, like shows, and when these kids are telling their scary stories, like the actors, because they have, it's not just them sitting at a table and then one kid just saying a story, they actually like act out the scenes with different actors and stuff, and usually the kid telling the story is like the main character, and they also have the actors from the other shows, and there's some actors that play main characters kind of in the show themselves, and it's really cool, to be honest. It's not what I expected. Mike Flanagan always seems to, like, surprise me with his shows and stuff like that. But yeah, it's really good. I'd totally give recommend. It's called the Midnight Club. Emphasis on club. But yeah, it centers around this girl named Iona or Ilona or something like that. I don't know. Like I'm very bad with names. Basically, and this is no spoilers here, but she gets thyroid cancer, so she goes to a little like a community home where it's like a bunch of young adults who have some form of cancer go to and just kind of, and this is what the show says, but waited out, preferring to just waiting till they die, which is kind of horrific. But like, anyways, as she's staying here, just weird like things start to happen. She goes like detective mode into trying to research this house and stuff like that. And of course she meets friends, and then of course they tell their stories. And like, it's pretty good. Like, it's definitely a good watch for like coming up to Halloween, stuff like that. Man, it seems like my hiccups do not go away. But yeah, I totally give it a recommend. I don't want to say too much about it, just because if you do end up watching it, I don't want to spoil anything. But I don't know, Mike Flanagan, whatever, I think he wrote and directed this one, but along with another woman. I think she wrote the, I don't know, and I didn't go into specifics, but it's just whenever you create something, he always just, you can tell, I don't know if it's because I watched all the show, but you can tell that it's his style, and it always has some like kind of mystery involved around it. I'm in love with it. I love this show so much. But another show that I definitely want to watch this month, and I think it's semi-popular, and I know some other people watched it, but Interview with a Vampire. I watched some clips of it, and it just based on the clips, it's like two adult vampires, and I think they turn the teenage girl vampire, and it's just them living. Like, I don't know much. I know they're vampires and they're living together and stuff like that. But speaking of shows, excuse the rustling of paper. I keep getting caught in different wires and such, and papers. But I want to talk about the Jeffrey Dahmer like show that recently came out. So TikTok, almost everyone knows this app, so I feel no need to explain what it is. But there has been this trend, and I use that term loosely, of watching the new Jeffrey Dahmer series and then just kind of, I'll say simping, but if there's any like older listeners, basically having a crush on and obsessing over Evan Peters, like the actor himself. But because they don't know Evan Peters, and I know a lot of people don't separate the actor from the character they're playing, they, instead of simping over the actor Evan Peters, they start simping over the actual person Jeffrey Dahmer, which I feel like you can already kind of tell where I'm going with this and why it's a problem. But and I feel like that's crossing a line. The whole simping and crushing over serial killers is like, it's really bad. I feel like the need as an individual who watches a lot of true crime on different, like murder mystery, serial killers and stuff like that, that this behavior, like simping over a serial killer, is not okay. Like, honestly, I feel bad for the families and people that are not involved with Jeffrey Dahmer, but like have suffered because of him. And, like, I feel bad for this because they have to relive this trauma, but also the people like on the internet who watch this show glorifying this serial killer. Like, and some of you may say, like, you said you just watch true crime shows. Like, are you not a problem, part of the problem, aka watching these shows and stuff like that? But honestly, to an extent, probably yes. I haven't actually watched the Jeffrey Dahmer TV show yet, but the shows I watch usually have the family's approval, and I mean that as they either give their approval, be like, yeah, you can investigate and stuff like that. And the documentary, because it's usually a documentary, will like be like, have like an episode, or at the end of every episode, talk about like in remembrance of the victims and stuff like that, or specifically talk about the victims. And it's like, it's different than just talking about the serial killer and like how they killed and blah 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 blah, but they're focusing also on the victims of like the victim of this person or this murderer. Or they also like, I think it's most of the shows, like the most of the documentary shows that I watch, where the people who were involved, like not again, not involved in the sense that they helped commit these murders, but involved in the sense of the consequences, or they were related to the person that died. They're in the show themselves giving these accounts of what happened, like the personality, like of the victim, and blah blah blah, like stuff like that. I don't want to say blah blah blah. I feel like that's just lowering it and like really badly, but either way, or it's also from like the police or the people that have been been in a situation that are giving approval and their own accounts to whoever's in charge of the documentary. Also, these docs and shows that I watch are also not like they have pictures and real life documents or video. It's not actors were going through the killings and playing a part of a killer or playing the part of the victims. It's kind of, I want to say it's two different genres, but in a way, it's not really. It still falls under the crime and document like show, but I don't know. In general, this topic is a very hard one to approach, I feel like, because if you choose to approach it, you have to be, it has to be the sensible approach. You have to be, it has to be done properly and carefully. Like, honestly, Netflix, which I think is the producer of this Jeffrey Dahmer series, dropped the ball on this one, to be honest. I mean, that in the way that they didn't ask people who were affected by Jeffrey to permission, from what I know, they didn't ask permission because, like, when the show released, the families were like, oh, what are you doing? Like, you're making us relive this trauma, like, stuff like that. And the show makes them relive the trauma to a wide account, as, like, it is almost everywhere on the internet and social media. Like, they're not going to be able to catch a break. And I'm like, even though this show was released maybe probably last month, again, sense of time, I have a horrible sense of time. But anyway, like, I have a horrible sense of time and I just can't keep account, but I'm pretty sure it was like last month. But people are still talking about it and people are still making, it's not called thirst traps, but it's like just glorifying Jeffrey Dahmer. And I think in today's day and age, the internet, it's very hard to avoid. So it's very hard to avoid this show and stuff like that. And I just want to, again, I'm just a civilian. I'm not super educated in anything. Like, I am learning and stuff like that. But I feel like you have to be careful when talking about serial killers, murder mysteries, and stuff like that, because it is a very sensitive topic. People have died, people have suffered. And if you don't go at it the right way, or a sensible way, or a careful way, it is not going to be good, to put it in layman's terms. But honestly, that is all I'm really gonna say on the topic. I did feel the need to talk about how people behave with this kind of stuff, and how the actual thing it is, and how cruel and disturbing it is, but also how disturbing it is that people find serial killers attractive. I know it, sometimes it is, they're just attracted to the actor, but they take it place as in they are kind of like going towards, it dives into the where they're actually attracted to the character. And I feel like there needs to be that separation. You can be attracted to the actor who plays this character, but to be actually be attracted to the serial killer character, it's that is not a healthy thing to adopt. And I don't mean to jump, but I don't mean to judge, but like I feel like, again, it needs to be said, and we need to be careful with this kind of stuff. But I think, to be fair, that's all I'm gonna say on it, to be honest. But well, I think the time is technically 10:59, so it's currently almost 11 o'clock, and so I must bid my farewell for tonight. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Mondays After Class Show, Late Night Home. I am Mia Van Harten, and tomorrow's Tuesday. Yeah, tomorrow is Tuesday, the 18th of October. I hope you are getting home safe, like you're safe at home, getting home safe, and I wish you all the best, a good night, and a good morning. Bye-bye.